Today is the 11th Sunday after Trinity Sunday, and the Gospel reading appointed for this day is from St. Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. When we consider the appointed gospel lections for the past few Sundays, the unjust steward who wasted his master's goods, the people of Jerusalem not recognizing the time of their visitation, we see that today's gospel fits in with a theme of this portion of the church year. The unjust steward bought influence for himself with those who owed money to his master. Jesus declared, So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail they may receive you into an everlasting home. As Christians we are to be mindful of eternal life in the choices we make concerning how we use that which the Lord has entrusted to us. Again, last Sunday, we heard about how the people were not paying attention to eternal things, but were focused on the life of this world. They did not recognize the gracious visitation of God, even as God incarnate came to teach in the temple. Again, they were not mindful of the gift of God, but thought only of the fleeting concerns of this world. In the gospel lection appointed for today, we behold two men in church. One is confident of his own righteousness through the things he accomplishes in this life. The other, repentant, knows he can accomplish nothing for his own salvation, and steady trusts to the mercy of God in Christ. The Pharisee is focused on this life, making a great display of his own imagined righteousness, while the repentant tax collector looks to Christ. The result is that the work of the Pharisee is empty and vain, but the work of the tax collector springs forth from saving faith. This is an important thing for us to believe. Salvation and the life which flows from faith are gracious gifts of God. As the words of warning in the reading for last Sunday were directed precisely toward those who imagined themselves to have faith, but did not have it. So today, Christ declares, Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Thus we see that the contrast is not between the church and the world. Instead, it is between false Christians and true Christians. An unrepentant tax collector was the very model of those who were unbelievers. For Jesus said concerning those removed from the fellowship of the church, Let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector. But today's gospel lection presents us with a tax collector who has repented. The proud Pharisee, however, still tries to hold over the man's head the sins which the Lord forgave. For the Pharisee says, God, I thank you I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Would that he were like that tax collector, who would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. St. Paul declared to the Corinthians, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The tax collector had been such a man, and he knew it. Therefore he threw himself down before the triune God and implored his mercy. For it was in the mercy of God alone that there is hope for salvation. But the Pharisee, imagining himself to be far above the repentant sinner, lingers still in the enslaving idolatry to self. He has imagined himself to be his own Savior, and dares to praise his merits before God himself. There's a reason why this portion of Scripture is read during the church year. It's not just so you can know what hard-hearted people the Pharisees were, though it also teaches that. It is ready cheer of the church because Pharisaism remains within the church. Think of two particular temptations within the church. On the one hand, there are those who err, who don't care about repentance. Such individuals rail against holding the impenitent accountable for their impenitence, although Christ clearly commands that we must do so. On the other hand, there are those who are unwilling to forgive those who repent. Such individuals even base their own estimation of their worth in the fact that they were never one of those people. They know they are good enough for heaven, or at least so they imagine in their minds, because they've never committed adultery, never got drunk, never even knew a homosexual, never swindled anyone out of their property, and so on. Within their hearts, they're just convinced that they're good enough for God because they think they're better than other people. There's a hardness of heart among the Pharisees, both then and now, which seems almost utterly incapable of seeing its own sin. It is a hardness capable of sitting here today, listening to this broadcast, confident that I'm speaking to someone else, saying within one's own heart, "Lord, I thank you I'm not like that person." Of course, there were also occasions when the Pharisees gnashed their teeth at Jesus because they knew he was talking about them, but they couldn't kill him yet. Rather than repent, they hardened themselves further. Rather than rejoice in the one who repents, they still judge. The fact is, they are in greater danger of hell than the one they are judging, because that other person has repented, while they remain locked in their idolatry to themselves. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet beheld the Lord in his temple, and saw the seraphim, the burning angels, above the Lord's throne, and the doorposts were shaken by the singing of those seraphim, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." The coals came from the place of sacrifice. A sacrifice was needed for there to be forgiveness of sins. No matter how holy Isaiah's life had been up to that point, he knew that his own holiness was totally unworthy of being in the presence of God. The great blessing, which was Isaiah's and our own, is that God freely gives that which we utterly lack. The seraphim brings the coal, so that Isaiah's sin is taken away. Jesus sends his servants with water and the word, so that in the cleansing flood of holy baptism, our sins are taken away. Enjoying this free grace involves renouncing the sham grace. Cast away the broken crutch of your own righteousness. It cannot bear the weight of your sin. It fills your heart with bitterness because it is based on a judgmental spirit which cannot rejoice in the repentance of others, but seeks satisfaction only in judging them. Let go of the lie, for Christ, the living truth, has come and taken upon himself the weight of all sin to accomplish redemption for all who believe in him. Christ alone could justly say, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men." For with regard to sin, he was not and is not like all other men. For we are all, by nature and action, sinful and unclean. To praise your own cleanliness because you seem less dirty to yourself than some other person is no cleanliness at all. But the love of God in Christ Jesus is so great that he came to die for wretched sinners. Thus it is, as St. Paul declared, For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. What greater words could a suffering soul fearing the weight of its own sins ever hear? Who wants a sham righteousness when the triune God offers the real thing, freely, to all who believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior? Like the penitent tax collector, we cry out, God be merciful to me, a sinner, because we know his mercy in Christ. Christ suffering, dying, and rising again, witnessed by the holy apostles and proclaimed through Holy Scripture, this is our consolation. We have been baptized into Christ, made partakers of his death and resurrection. When we believe that, the lure of fake, Pharisaical righteousness loses its luster. In the collect, we will pray that God would pour down upon us the abundance of his mercy, accomplishing two things: forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. Salvation and the life which flows from faith are gracious gifts of God. It is the grace of God which forgives our sins, and is the grace of God which gives us all good things, including the life of good works, which flows out of faith. St. Paul, the converted Pharisee, is a model of the power of the grace of God to transform sinners. As Paul declared to the Philippians, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Or as is declared in today's epistle, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we lay no claim to our works, for they are the fruit of what God is working within us. Apart from Christ, our deeds were of darkness. We lay no claim to that which Christ accomplishes through us, other than to give thanks to him for whom all things are possible. We are here today because of the things which Christ has given to us, and because of that which he still gives to us through his word and sacrament. When we partake of Jesus' body and blood, we receive a gift precious beyond measure. Isaiah rejoiced when the coal was touched to his mouth. For us, God gives to us to eat of his own body and blood, a gift beyond all measure, all comprehension. The word of absolution is a declaration of God's grace spoken through his servant, so that you will be assured of the grace of God. Confessing your sins and receiving the absolution, you may be confident that it is as Christ promises the ones whom he sends. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Rely on that word. Have confidence in Christ, for he is our Savior, the living truth, who delivers us out of the darkness of this fallen world into the life which has no end. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who is always more ready to hear than we to pray, and are wont to give more than either we desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.